Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. I figured today is a little bit of a victory for the troops. Obama bin Laden, has withdrawn his expose of torture and will not incriminate the American people. Yet there are people in this country that want to take us down so bad. I don't know who they think are going to take who is going to take the government's place, or who's going to lead this country better than we ourselves. But for some reason, they hate this country with a passion. They hate steeples. They hate children. They hate independence. They hate the declaration thereof. They hate LLP, and they try to destroy my LLP, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. They never contributed to the success of this country. They only take and tear it down. But the good news tonight is that they're not going to release the Abu Ghraib photos. And if you really want to see torture is being on a cell phone on a hijacked aircraft, seeing the George Washington Bridge beneath your wings, knowing you're heading downtown New York. That's torture. Torture is being trapped on the 103rd floor of the World Trade Center, knowing that nobody can rescue you, and there's one police helicopter that can't even get close. Torture is trying to call your mom to say goodbye before you die, and you get her answering machine, or even worse, your cell phone doesn't work. Torture is watching people go into an elevator and hearing their screams as you run down the stairs. Torture is a father and mother praying that their son gets out of the building before it's too late, and to think that he's dead and he walks in the door and the torture is over for you. But the torture is just beginning. Torture is being a pregnant mother trapped in the 103rd floor, knowing that you and the child that you are going to give birth to are about to die, and you can't even touch your husband or anybody else that loves you. That's torture. Torture is knowing that your life is over at a young age, and you did nothing to cause it but go to work. Torture is having to listen to liberals say, what did Bush know and when did he know it, when they're the exact cause of 9-1-1 by their apathy. You really want torture? You have no idea what torture is. Torture is being on your knees at the cockpit door, steeped in pilot blood, listening to Khalid the Virgin Counter chant the second surah from the Quran. That's torture. Torture is seeing your child off on an airplane that explodes over Lockerbie, Scotland. Your student child. That's torture. What was done to these bums in Abu Ghraib, these murderers in Abu Ghraib and Gitmo, was nothing. And anybody who tells you that they would rather see their own children die than submit themselves to allow torture to take place that could save them deserves to be tortured by the people that really know how to commit a torture. We're still debating while America dies and bleeds to death. And never forget that Osama bin Laden came to kill 100,000 and he only killed 3,000. 2,800 and 200 unborn babies. He only killed 3,000. He's short 97,000 on his initial quota. And he will be back for the others until he is dead, killed dead. And then maybe you can put an end to jihad nonsense. And as the price of oil goes up, so goes jihad taxes. So goes the sponsorship of terrorism as the price of oil goes up. And tonight, the Iranians are putting up missiles by the Straits of Hormuz, not to deter the Israelis, but to raise the price of oil. Because when oil is $50 a barrel, going to 40, going to 30, and going to 20, Iran's nuclear program goes down the tubes. Because their people are starving, and eventually they're going to throw the mullahs out. With no help from us, we haven't even ran one campaign against the mullahs in Iran. All the time we were in Iraq, we never broadcasted into Iran for the Iranian people to overthrow their government. We are the kid glove warriors. We expend good Americans while we debate under the bed. Welcome to the Spirit of America party. Let me take you back to the 50s. 1950, BD, before drugs. And when I come back, we're going to talk about drugs. Black, black.
I just don't care. You would know why if you see what I wear. Black, black. Take 14, black, black. Really our team, black, black. Make a cool radio. When I put them on, I'm ready to go. Man, you ought to see me with my derby on. I know that you would say he's gone. Black, black. Mostly in the head, black, black. Well, that's what I said, black, black. I'm the cat's pajamas. All the run around with crazy little mama.
Words like daddy-o were cool in 1950, and he's a square. And I'll take those squares back any day of the week. Everybody had a crew cut. Everybody was clean cut. We didn't have drugs. No drugs. Only jazz musicians smoked marijuana. Now college professors do, and judges. And the governor of California wants to legalize it so he can tax all the drug addicts in his state. One out of five Americans is a junkie. You've heard me say it all the time, right? And one out of five Americans, that junkie, brings down one out of five families. A junkie destroys a family. And I'm reminded by my friends who tell me that if we had grown up with the presence of drugs, we would all be junkies today also, instead of just a bunch of drunks. And I'm reminded that one third of everybody I grew up with became a drunk. But I'm going to tell you something about drunks. They're harmless compared to what a junkie can do to you. And just take a look at it. You won't see too many drunks prostituting themselves to buy beer. You won't see too many drunks breaking into houses and stealing to buy beer. Junkies are the reason for the high crime rate in the United States. You get rid of drugs, you have no crime rate. All the cops become Maytag repairmen. And if you don't believe me, just pick up the paper any day of the week and see who's going to jail and who just committed a heinous crime, and it's all drug related. Now, it even gets worse than that. I'm going to tell you of a scenario I learned last night talking with a doctor. Fellow's got to practice, and part of his income comes from a rehab. And he happened to mention to me, he says he's got a small practice, and he's got, guess how many rehab patients he's got in a small local practice? How many drug addict rehab patients he has? Take a guess. How does 250 sound? What's the average age? Take a guess. I said 19. He said, you're close, it's 20. And they're all taking a drug. I forget the name of the drug, but it sounded like Sabor, which is an improvement over methadone. And you can get off of Sabor. And most of the drug addicts are OxyContin and pill poppers. But here they are. They're washouts at 19 and 20. They're finished. They're in rehab. They've got the rest of their life to deal with this problem, as compared to a guy that fell off a bar stool. And every time they tell you about a DWI, you're under the impression the guy's drunk while driving, but he could be doped up while driving. It's really sad. One out of five Americans is a junkie. You think about that. And think of the price of heroin and the price of beer. I'll take a drunkie over a junkie anytime. And besides, you can hear the drunkies coming with the recyclables banging together. The cans and the bottles. So we got some problems in America, and Arizona has got a big problem, and John McCain has been its senator for years, and he's never done anything to fight drugs in his state. So there you go, to give it all up, people. It's time we got a new political party, one, the Common Sense Party.
Lock your dreams at night.
You know what Beethoven's last words were? I really wanted a crew cut. You heard about the baseball player that's been suspended 50 games because he was taking steroids? I think his name is Manny Ramirez. Do you know how they caught him? He had to take female hormones to bring his body back to normal. And his teammates noticed that he was nagging them a lot. And, of course, you heard about the chimpanzee that nearly tore that woman to pieces. And now they're finding out that the chimpanzee was doped up. I told you, one out of five Americans is a junkie, right? You don't believe me. The chimpanzee was taking Xanax. So it's a clear-cut case of a monkey with a Xanax on his back. Let me give you another tune, and we'll make your day. Before I give you the tune, let me give you the good news that's coming out of Saudi Arabia tonight. A Saudi judge told the conference on domestic violence that a man has the right to slap his wife who spends money wastefully, and said women were as much to blame as men for increased spousal abuse. Apparently, if use this as an example, if a man gives 1,200 Saudi rials, that's about $320, to his wife, and she spends 900 rials to purchase an abaya, that's the burqa, from head to toe in a brand shop, and her husband slaps her on the face as a reaction to her action, she deserves that punishment. Whatever happened to Easter bonnets? Yeah. Did you see anybody punching their wives outside of St. Patrick's Cathedral during the Easter parade? Yeah. Of course, the women are outraged, but they're still working on getting the vote and being allowed to drive. So they got a long way to go. And the reasoning behind the wife beating is they don't want to... they don't want to be outdone by the Iranians, who have an entire day devoted to beating the wife or hanging them off the back of a tow truck, depending on how cross the husband is. Unbelievable. Yeah, and we're all going to get a little Sharia law here in the United States to be compassionate, to be international. You really want to be international? What happened to the good old USA? Who dumped us? You want your country back? It's going to cost you. Like that, Gypsy Kings, Spanish, flamenco music. Remember when Spain was great? Spain led the world in exploration. Just look at St. Augustine, Florida. There's a church in St. Augustine, Florida. It shows a beautiful mural of the first Spanish expeditionary forces that landed in at that very point. And then they lost to Queen Elizabeth. The Spanish Armada was torn to pieces. And the balance of fortunes changed. and that's and the Dutch came here, and the Dutch brought the first slaves into the New World. And they New Amsterdam, New York was once New Amsterdam, and the first governor of New Amsterdam was Peter Minuit, and he had a wooden leg. I wonder if they teach about Peter Minuit in New York City schools. Are they still cramming Harvey Milk down all the children's throats? Yeah, Harvey Milk. A great leader. Yeah, we don't give credit to our great leaders. We shun them. We hide them. Any heroic acts are swept under the rug. Any patriotism has to be destroyed. God help, you know what I saw last night on TV, on the History Channel? A meeting of Roosevelt and Churchill on a British warship. And they sat there, and the whole crew turned out in dress blues, both American sailors and British sailors, and they sang Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus. And there was the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of England singing those very words. And today, what do we have? Janet Jackson hangs one out at the Super Bowl. Just show us a little patriotism, Janet. Hang one out for the country. Yeah. What a nation. God help us. You know what? They say that when Jesus was crucified, that graves opened and the dead walked throughout the land. I think that when this country goes down, the graves are going to open, and the dead are going to come up and rise up, and they're going to kill us. They're going to give us such a beating you won't believe for betraying all that they held sacred. And I'm watching Notre Dame tonight, getting ready for the visit of Osama bin Laden. And we were talking about abortion today, and a comment was made that one child, the news showed one child who was murdered, and how everybody was appalled. And the person I was talking to said, "How can they be appalled with the death of one when we kill 1,400,000 a year? How ironic." How hypocritical. How sad. And until we stop killing the young, there's no safety for anybody. There's no guarantee of life for anybody. Because if one life is cheap, all life is cheap. So, let me we'll take a break, and I'll give you a little more music. And we'll see if we can find something that pays a tribute to beautiful women. Oh, one thing I did mention. Have you noticed that Fox always has good-looking women? You noticed that, right? I'm waiting for the Fox calendar. But if you notice, like if you watch Fox Business Channel, they always show the leg shots of the good-looking girls. The legs, I say, there should be an even playing field. And what they should have to do is they should not show any shots from the waist up. When somebody's talking, you don't see their face, you don't see their lips, all you see are the legs. And then we'll level the playing field, let the men roll up their pants. Stop putting the men's legs in burkas. Hang in there. Did you see the press conference with Donald Trump absolving Miss California of all her sins? Did you see the two representatives of the pageant that were there that also said that they, after great deliberation, they decided to give Miss California a pass? Did you see the woman who was there that sits on that panel? Did you see the dress she had on? She looked like she had two feed bags. for horses. She had a straight cut dress. Cut like about one third of the way down on her breasts. And she kept stuffing her breasts back in as they kept popping up. And she was passing judgment on Miss California, who's only, what, 19 years old or 21 years old? And here's a full-grown woman doesn't know how to dress. Unbelievable. And, of course, the Donald, the Donald, I got to tell you about the Donald. The Donald has a lot of hotels. And the Donald made his fortune in New York City. And the only reason that his real estate has any value today is because of the 10th Mountain Division and every GI who has served in Afghanistan and Iraq. And the Donald never threw a door open or gave a breakfast to GIs in New York on leave. Never once did he open the doors of a hotel and say, come on in, guys, I got some vacant rooms, make yourself at home. Whatever you want, it's on the Donald. No, never did it. And you know who's worse than the Donald? Mayor Bloomingdale. Bicycle Pete. Mayor Bloomingdale never once gave the city the keys to the city, to the 10th Mountain Division, which is headquartered in New York State. Never once did Mayor Bloomingdale, who's crying about tourism, ever say to the 10th Mountain Division, come on down from Camp Drum, guys. Come on into New York this week. It's your week. We're going to give you free cab rides. We're going to give you free hotels. We're going to give you free dinners. We're going to give you a free Broadway show. Just for saving our worthless necks. Never said thank you. And that's why we are a divided country. And everybody's going their own little way until the end of the road.
You know, a good tune is like a bottle of rare wine. The older it gets, the more mellow it becomes. A good old song has a wonderful habit of returning and bringing back memories. Sometimes when you think you've forgotten all about a childhood sweetheart or a school chum you haven't seen in years, up pops that song. And maybe for a few fleeting moments, you relive the past all over again. The number I'm going to sing affects me just that way. And perhaps we'll brush away a few cobwebs for some of you. Remember, If You Were the Only Girl?
If you were the only girl in the world, and I were the only boy, nothing else would matter in the world today. We would go on loving in the same old way. A garden of Eden just made for two, with nothing to mar our joy. I would say such wonderful things to you. There would be such wonderful things to do. If you were the only girl in the world, and I were the only boy. such wonderful things to do with you.
Did you see Nancy Pelosi having teleprompter problems today? Are you going to tell me that the party of death, who spent its every waking minute fighting George Bush while he was fighting a war, was misinformed by the CIA when they were looking to hang Bush with everything they could? And now she's saying that she sent an aide to a meeting as important as a CIA briefing, and that the aide didn't relay the information to her for 5 months? Are you buying that? Come on. Do you buy any? Listen, the Democrats, they were turning rocks over trying to get stuff on Bush. There's no way they would have went to a CIA briefing about waterboarding and not listened carefully. It's unbelievable. And the only way you're going to get the truth out of Nancy Pelosi is you're going to have to waterboard her. Yeah. And did you see Senator Byrd being wheeled into the hearings? The Senate hearings today? You know what? I'm worried. I'm worried about West Virginia. I think they still have slavery there. He had a black guy pushing his wheelchair. And I just hope that black guy sees that Richard Widmark movie where Richard pushes somebody in a wheelchair down a flight of stairs. I hope he gets Richard Widmark a deja vu. Senator Byrd, he's a flag burner, a barn burner, a church burner. Yeah, and he's a spokesman for the Dixiecrats. God help us. He voted to burn the flag. How's that for Southern pride? Yeah. Send him again. That's what you do. Send him back. Make believe he's Ted Kennedy. Send him back. Make believe he's John Kerry. Send him back. Yeah, he didn't do enough harm the last go-around. Send him back. There's a sad one in my local paper tonight. A three-month-old baby was beaten to death by her father. Her father's 47 years old, and he's a big Irish guy. And guess what? He's 37 years old. And he's a strapping Irish guy. And he's got a crack problem. And he's also got a daughter, 16 months old, and he tried to blame the daughter. He pulled a Ted Kennedy. He tried to get the daughter to take a fall for him. How's that? And you don't think we don't have a drug problem in this country? I say it's 1 out of 5. I'm getting worried. I think it's 2 out of 5. I think we're in big trouble. More trouble than we know. There's going to be a lot of bubbles bursting. And they all won't be in the stock market. A guy came to see me today. He's married 28 years. He's dropped 45 pounds. He looks like he's wired so tight it's unbelievable. And his wife is divorcing him. And his son said if he sees him on the street, he's going to spit in his face. How's that? How's that? Is that the way it's supposed to work out? You meet somebody, you fall in love, you promise to love, honor, and obey till death do you part, and 28 years later, it crumples to ash? Is that the way it's supposed to be? Who wasn't doing their homework? Who wasn't holding up their end? Were both not holding up their end? Was one struggling to keep it together and finally gave up? The sad part about it is the guy is he's having a meltdown. Whether he was right or wrong, he's melting down. And half his assets are now going to his wife. And there's no court in the world that's going not to give her what she's entitled to, not with 28 years of a sacrifice. It's a lousy way to end up. The finish should be a big finish. A good show always has a big finish. You got to take a look at what you have. And just remember this, you're not going to have it forever. The greatest fortunes fall to your relatives. So spend it while there's still time. And they'll put you in a home as sure as look at you. They'll be going through your top drawer while they're strapping you down on the gurney. I've heard some horrible stories. Guys at a wake fighting in front of the coffin. Two brothers fighting over dad's car. Fisticuffs. And dad's in the coffin. It's a wonder he didn't get up and beat them both up. Life isn't fair, and we all find out. And it's funny, you know, no matter how you do it, you come in alone, you go out alone. Even though I've said I want a double wide coffin. I want to be buried with my bride. I guess there's some Board of Health regulations against it, but there's a way to do it. Yeah, if I go first, just when it's her time to join me, just, you know, bring me back up. Flip the lid. Side by side is the way I want to be. Let me give you another tune to cheer you up.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. Drove those other childs wild. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. When it came to winning Blue River, well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the
the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now? Come on, you wanna be. Judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I know you made the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby.
I believe a lot of people voted for Obama because they wanted to see a black guy in a top position. I believe they were rooting for Obama to make it. And that's not a bad motive at all. You know. And now we've had it. We've had the black guy. And now what are we going to do for an encore? Based on how he performs, will be an indication of where the country turns next. A couple of things I see. I see that he does rein in his ideals when they are not practical. That's what I read so far, and I hope I'm right. I hope that, you know, when it comes to serving the country, he serves the entire country and looks out of... His number one job is the security of the United States. And if he does that, he's going to have a decent legacy. And I got a feeling that I hope I'm right, that he's now thinking for the entire country, not just a portion of the country. And that would be a good sign. His reversal on the Abu Ghraib information was a good decision. It could only result in Al-Qaeda working up the Muslim masses. One thing about the Islamic world that we're not really aware of, there are a lot of illiterate people in Islam, in the Islamic world. Based on my own personal experience, I was in Bahrain. We were applying for a visa to go to Saudi Arabia, and I was with my Kuwaiti partner, business partner, and people would come up to him, other Arabs would come up to him and ask him to fill out a simple card, a visa card, visa application card. You know, like the ones they give you when you're on the plane and you're about to land, and you got to fill out the card. And these, and a lot of people would come over and ask them to fill out the card. And as a matter of fact, I was having lunch with a guy from the Emirates, and he was picking up the tab, and he he paid with an American Express credit card. And when they brought the card back for his signature, he took his thumb and he pressed it down on the paper, and he laughed. And the reason he laughed was because he could sign, but he was just joking that, you know, that's how we do it here. Nobody can write. But so you can see that there is an element of uneducated people, illiterate people, and they're easily agitated and primed by Al Qaeda, and they believe what their mullahs tell them. So, you know, those photos from Abu Ghraib would play right into the hands of Al Qaeda, and the end result would be more Americans would die. Just like when Mike Isikoff wrote the Koran toilet paper lie about Gizmo, that the Koran was being stuffed down the toilet and GIs were urinating on it, and that turned out to be false, but you see the damage was done. It goes back to my theory, Mary is a Hua. When they label Mary a Hua, 50% of everybody who hears it, 80% of everybody who hears it, believes she is. And then Mary tries to disprove the claim. And when she gets finished and is vilified in court, and the ruling is in her favor, there's still 20% who will always believe that she's a whore. So the damage is done, and it cannot be undone. And that's the same with what Mike Isikoff did. And as a result of what Mike Isikoff did in Newsweek or Time magazine, I forget which one, with his Gitmo toilet paper Koran, two-ply Koran, initiated a great outcry in the Muslim world, and the end result was that in Afghanistan a lot of people died as a result of Mike Isikoff. There was a CH-47 helicopter that was taken out of the sky 1 week after that those people were on a rampage, and there were Canadian soldiers that were gunned down in Afghanistan as a result of that rampage. And we all see how the Muslims reacted to the Mohammed with the head bomb turban. That was the cartoon that was printed in Denmark. They went after every flag that had a cross on it. They burned the Norwegian flag, the Danish flag. And as if it had a cross on it, they burned it, believing it was the Danish flag. They didn't even know whose flag they were burning. And that's really sad. Yet, in the Washington Post, they ran a cartoon of a GI with no arms and no legs, and they blamed Rumsfeld for the suffering of the GI. And it was a cartoon. And nobody said boo. But you wouldn't see them do a Mohammed with the head bomb. You wouldn't see the Washington Post to put that one up. You know why? Because they don't have a death wish. And the editor of the Washington Post doesn't want to climb into a yellow cab and see his picture, his fatwa picture, next to Mohammed the Hack's license. Yeah, they're very. The media is very careful on who they upset. It's okay to upset Catholics. You can dump on Catholics. You'll get no opposition whatsoever. Catholics just turn the other cheek. But they will never confront a Muslim. They don't want to hear that word, a jihad or fatwa. So hang in there. We'll give you another tune.
Many long years ago, a fella named Robin Hood, he used to rob the rich, most every chance he could. You shouldn't get me wrong, because he was no square. With his trusty bow and arrow, he could part your hair. His brother was Little John, another was Allendale. 140 more, together they hit the trail. They were scampering through the forest, through the blue boring. Mr. Edom told them where they should begin, and he took from the rich man, gave it to the poor man. fear for no man, only for his chick whose name is Marianne. Here is a switcheroo, a robber and his loyal crew. King Richard forgave them all, did what they had to do. They became his loyal rangers and were very good. So that ends our little tale of Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood. For no man, only for his chick whose name is Marianne. Here is a switcheroo, a robber and his loyal crew. King Richard forgave them all, here's what they had to do. They became royal rangers and were very good. So that ends our little tale of Robin Hood. First you say hello, then you get mellow. Mustn't be lazy, gotta be crazy. Once you get started, oh, this is what'll happen to you. Baby, you shake it and you break it and you, oh, babe, you knock it and you rock it and you, oh, babe, you swing it and you sing it and you, oh, babe, you skip it and you dip it and you, oh, babe, and the world turns upside down when you holler, oh, babe, and you wiggle and you giggle and you, oh, babe. Shuffle and you scuffle and you,
oh babe,
and you boogie and you woogie and you,
oh babe,
you move it and you groove it and you,
oh babe,
and the world turns you upside down when you holler, oh, oh babe, oh Sam, oh babe, oh babe, oh Sam, oh babe, oh baby, oh baba, oh baby, oh oh baby, oh hello, we'll be right back.
of stardust. Just hang out one silly moon, and they've got their love torches burning, and they should be playing it cool. I used to laugh, but now I understand. Shake the hand of a brand new fool. Well, fools fall in love just like schoolgirls, blinded by rose-colored dreams. They build their castles on wishes, with only rainbows.
Yeah.